It's hour number three of VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings, right here on MSG Plus. Thanks for sticking with us tonight. Our first night ever on air in our brief run here on MSG Plus, where we had no live sports that we were actively following. We did cash that in-game wager on Judge Judy earlier, which is good for everybody. Wes Reynolds is here, everybody, from VSiN. To talk college football and golf with us. How you doing, Wes?
I'm good, Gil. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for coming with us. We're going to talk about those two sports momentarily, but we were commenting off air. We saw the news, and this happened earlier today, so it's not breaking news, but Daryl Morey, who, of course, was with the Rockets for so many years, is now going to be with the Sixers. So let me just ask you this. How soon will we get an Embiid for Harden trade rumor? And if that's a rumor, who says no?
Yeah, I think that that's coming in relatively short order. And of course, Doc Rivers, the new coach in Philadelphia. And look, Doc is kind of one of those old school coaches that aren't really as knee deep into the analytics or a little bit more old school in how they play. They like to have a big guy, but I think Daryl Morey, it may not be as pronounced as it was with the Rockets, where it seems like they didn't have anybody taller than 6'6", but he wants to get some shooters, and they don't have a lot of shooters. We were talking about that before we came back from break. They were so much better 2 years ago when they had the Bellinellis and the Reddicks and, of course, Jimmy Butler as well, and they had guys that could really stretch. And now with Embiid and Simmons, I just think if those two don't have the support, they're not going to work together. So who do you trade? And a lot of people would say Embiid, because obviously he's injury prone. When he's good, he's really good, but he's injury prone oftentimes. Sometimes he's out of shape. So you kind of have reached, I think, that breaking point. So it's going to depend on how Morey and Doc are going to work together. I think Doc is willing to adjust going forward and play a little bit more small ball and a little bit of stretch the floor. I still think he wants some kind of post presence, though.
Would the Rockets, you think, say, Matt, would they be like, yeah, you know what, we're done with this, we'll take Embiid for Harden?
The team was built team was built differently. I think the experiment kind of ran its course, and, you know, it was fun to watch, and it was, you know, innovative to try and go and do the let's shoot 300 threes a game, and, you know, as long as 75 of them go in.
But, 300.
But, I don't think that's an accurate stat, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a fun fact or anything like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can see them busting that up and trying to get things back to a more, you know, more balanced team than what they fielded. You talk about breaking news. Breaking news.
Yes.
Bruce Arians said that Antonio Brown looked fantastic today in his first workout for the Bucks, and I think we had a really good conversation today, he and I, is what Arians said. Could you imagine if he came out and said, like, he was garbage?
Yeah.
Like, no coach is ever going to be he was garbage.
You know, this thing we did, it was a horrible this isn't going to work out. Yeah. Not
horrible idea.
Yeah. Not only was he garbage, but we had a terrible conversation.
The conversation went very poorly after his bad workout.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so no, the coach speak and everything, he looked fantastic, and they had a great conversation afterwards. So I'm sure Antonio Brown will be the model team.
Bucks are all in, though, dude.
Oh.
They are all in. They're like, we sense it, we can get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, Tom's 43.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it now. That's why we brought him here. Wes, let's talk college football first before we get into golf, because we're in Bermuda this week. By the way, have you all ever been to Bermuda? Spectacular.
I would love to go. I never have been, unfortunately.
We'll get into that momentarily. But college football, with apologies to your SEC, Matt, because I know everyone was super excited when the SEC started. I actually thought the Big Ten debut this past weekend was the one that really lived up to the hype. Obviously, we had Rutgers upsetting Michigan State outright. We had the amazing finish with Indiana and Penn State, where Penn State's Devin Ford did the Todd Gurley thing the next day, where he was like, oh, I should have not gone in the end zone. Made a 21-20 game, 28-20. Indiana matriculates. Penix finally shows up in that game. They get the two-point conversion. They force overtime. And then the two-point conversion that was or wasn't wins it for Indiana. By the way, did you think he was in?
Yes, because I'm an Indiana University graduate, so of course I'm going to say yes. He probably wasn't, but, you know, it's like the whole when everybody was telling me, oh, Indiana got lucky to get that win, I was like, well, I'm going to play Conor McGregor and say I'd like to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Yes.
Because Indiana, that's always kind of been their bugaboo over the last few years, as the program has gradually at least made some minor improvements year to year. They couldn't beat the big boy. And they finally did. First top 10 win since 1987.
Where does that rank for you in terms of in great moments in Indiana University history?
It's got to be near the top. I think probably one of the most memorable ones was when they had to just win a game just to get into a bowl game. They had had like a 15-year bowl drought, and it was the year Terry Heppner died. And they kick a field goal at the end, Austin Starr, to beat Purdue, because the whole mantra was play 13, because this is a team that was the doormat of the conference at the time. And they get to a bowl after Terry Heppner died of cancer the summer before. So that was probably the most memorable. But this was really good. I mean, I said 1987. 1967, the last time Indiana beat a top 10 team in Bloomington, Indiana.
Jeez.
That was when they went to the Rose Bowl. So, of course, I'm going to leap to the conclusion. That's an omen. It's an omen. Of course, they're finally going to make the Rose Bowl when we can't go and sit in the stadium and watch. But that's the cart before the horse, nevertheless. It was a nice win.
I'm just curious because, most of us, obviously, we watch Indiana sports from afar. We're not as close to the sun on it as you are. But so Indiana basketball's rich history, 1975, perfect season. 1987, Keith Smart over Syracuse. They win the national championship. I might be skipping one, but 2002, they lose to Maryland, mm-hmm. I believe, in the NCAA championship.
In one of the ugliest national championship games that I can remember,
yeah.
Down in Atlanta. It was an awful game.
That Maryland team. If you go back and you're like Juan Dixon and Baxter and Wilcox, and the guy who had the longest career was Blake.
Yep.
Which is just amazing.
It's amazing because it was like, you look at that team, it's like, oh, they weren't that good. Well, that's four pros,
yeah,
right there. So no shame in losing to those guys, I guess.
So compared to the rich history of Indiana basketball, it's obviously a environment, or I should say an alumni that loves, and a fan base that loves basketball. But is there, like, does this in some way, are you like, wow, this tickles us more than any of that?
Well, I think there's kind of the cautious optimism. It's always cautious optimism with Indiana football because they've let you down so many times. But I think maybe there's the sense, even though they got outplayed, you look in the stats and it's like, how the heck did they win this game? And they found a way because Penn State gave it to them, really, and put themselves behind the eight ball with three first half turnovers. But I think looking forward, maybe there's a sense of something different here, that obviously they're not one of the top programs in the conference, but the improvements are palpable. Like, they're legitimate now in the fact that they beat a big team. Last year, they kind of crossed that threshold of they beat the teams they were supposed to beat, but they couldn't beat any of the good ones, the Ohio States, the Michigans, the Penn States. So it's nice to see them be at least somewhat competitive. And you always go to that Saturday, it's like, oh, it'd be nice to beat an elite team. And finally they did.
Finally it happened. As far as Big Ten football, beyond that. So again, Rutgers with the outright win over Michigan State. Indiana beats Penn State. Michigan crushes Minnesota. And in Milton, it looks like Jim Harbaugh has himself a quarterback. How do you feel about any of these Big Ten games this weekend? Michigan favored by 24.5 over Michigan State. Purdue, 7 points over Illinois. What in conference do you like this?
Well, I'll start with that Michigan State-Michigan game because the number does look high. But Michigan did impress me, and what really impressed me was almost running for 300 yards considering the fact that they have four offensive linemen from last year's group that are now playing in the National Football League, and three of them are even starting as rookies. So to replace that kind of offensive line and absolutely smash through Minnesota in that opener, and there was a lot of support for both sides, really, if you listen to the not only the general betting populace, but a lot of the sharper, more pro bettors. There were a lot of them on Minnesota, and Michigan came out and proved it. And Michigan State, what an awful performance against Rutgers. 7 turnovers. You're not going to beat anybody. I don't care if it's Rutgers or whoever it is. You're not going to beat anybody turning the ball over 7 times.
Because that was more Michigan State than it was Rutgers.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Look, credit Greg Schiano for getting his kids up for the game, and you never apologize for wins. So they're starting out 1-0. They're seeing the support a little bit against Indiana right now in the market. And I didn't want to lay Indiana in the spot either because how do you handle success that you're not used to handling? Even though this is a team you should go in and beat, even though this is a team you're better than, you're asking them to cover double digits for a team that had 211 yards of offense last week. That's going to improve for sure this weekend in Piscataway, but I couldn't lay it. That would be an under game for me because I think Indiana is going to want to get that running game going, only averaging like 1.9 yards a carry last week against Penn State.
Wes, we're in here tomorrow night, so two games going tomorrow night, South Alabama and Georgia Southern and Colorado State and Fresno State. Do you have thoughts on either one of those as we'll be in here, and it'll be on one of the many TVs that we have in the studio?
Well, helps us into some action.
Yeah, one game I got the best of the number. We have all that CLV, as we call it, closing line value, and that amounted to a hill of beans being on Georgia Southern. Is I took them +5.5 against Coastal Carolina. They close pick. Because Coastal Carolina goes with the number two quarterback because the primary quarterback, Grayson McCall, was out. So I go with Georgia Southern. I'm like, okay, triple option team, tough to prepare for just within 1 week, and got 5.5 points better of the number. But sometimes you win with the worst of the number and lose with the best of the number, and that's what happened to me. So Georgia Southern now, and Shea Wirtz went out of the game for a couple series last week, their quarterback, and the game was kind of stuck on 14-14 seemingly forever. And then in the fourth quarter, Coastal Carolina just kind of exploded on them and won by two scores. I don't disagree with the move here on South Alabama because I'm not sure where Georgia Southern's head is at. And then to the second game, Colorado State against Fresno State. Debut for Colorado State. Steve Adazio, now the head coach, was at Boston College last year. So you would expect offensively they're going to be a little more run heavy, like they were in Chestnut Hill with A.J. Dillon and Anthony Brown, who's now a grad transfer at Oregon. So Colorado State would be where I would lean here because that angle has been very profitable this year in terms of a team that has not played versus a team that has played. And you would think it would be the other way around because it makes more sense because it's like, hey, this other team's at least pop pads and hit against a team with an opposite color jersey, but it really hasn't been so. I think film study and preparation really have been the key factors for these teams. So the line is moved. I think it's about 1.5 pretty much market-wide, including at DraftKings. I don't disagree with that move with Colorado State as a small chalk.
Wes is amazing. You can throw anything at him, any team in the country, and he will go in depth on it. Like, he really, you know, South Alabama and Georgia Southern.
It's
that
one
well.
Of my favorite things. I like when I watch you and he kind of looks over at you, Gil, like, you know, the Georgia Southern quarterback that went down last week. And, you know,
I'm well aware. That's right.
I know a lot about nothing.
You're like, I was thinking
Gil.
That as well.
Yeah, you know,
the best way to answer to all these is like, he gets done and you go, I was also thinking.
You know, I was going to mention that, Wes, but, you know, you say.
I was also thinking that.
You did say something in there, and we on Primetime Action, we don't plan on stumbling into certain gambling things. We just sort of, it happens organically, and that's the beauty of this show. One of the things you just brought up was closing line value. I think it's a great thing to sort of seize on. So we're all trying to win money. There's a good percentage of serious gamblers, though, who take a lot of pride in beating the closing number.
Right.
And now when you talk to bookmakers, there is a faction of bookmakers who say, well, I will, you know, show me a 25-0 gambler and a 10-15 gambler, let's say in a 25-game swath. But if the 10-15 guy is beating the closing line at a greater rate than the 25-0 guy, I think the 10-15 guy has a better chance of success in the future. There's a group of bookmakers that will tell you that. There is also a group of bookmakers that will say, you know what? I don't care about that. Show me a winner.
Right.
Where do you land on that? Because I will tell you, I've had losing baseball seasons where I've lost in baseball, where I have destroyed the closing line value.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of like, do you want to be a smart loser or dumb winner,
right.
I guess. But
I'll take the second one.
I think it's a little bit in the middle because you do want to beat the closing number. Now, in some sports, it matters more than others. In college football, because you have the clock stoppages after every first down, because you're not dealing with grown men, because you're dealing with 18 to 23-year-old young men, and that brings the psychology into play, the numbers don't matter as much as I think in the NFL. In the NFL, I think you can get into a little bit more analytics-based handicapping. In college, which is a little bit of my bread and butter, is a lot more psychology. It's kind of like one of the angles I was looking at. Of course, Saturday is October 31st, so we know that that's Halloween. This year, Halloween fell on a weekend. Me and Ghetto Boys are trick-or-treating. I knew you would appreciate that.
Wes Reynolds, everybody.
I knew you would appreciate that. All
right, Houston, Texas, right? Houston,
yes.
Ghetto Boys?
Houston, Texas, the Ghetto Boys. Bushwick Bill, a great line in that song, My Mind's Playing Tricks on Me. But it applies here this weekend because it's Halloween weekend. So you get distractions.
Mm-hmm.
And look, we know that of the COVIDian environment, if you will, that we are currently in right now. Mm-hmm. So some people are going to take it more seriously, but these are 18 to 23 year old men. So they're going to be thinking, okay, what are y'all doing tonight? Where are we going tonight? Which fraternity party are we hitting up? Who's having a house party? Are you going to have some people over or whatever? So they're going to be thinking about that. So I'm going to be interested to monitor, and I'll probably do this Monday when all the results for the weekend are said and done, looking at the teams that go on the road. Because I think if you're a coach, you want to be on the road this week because you don't have to deal with the distractions. It's like we're going to be away from our friends. We're going to be away from campus. So we're not going to get back home, especially if we're playing in a late afternoon or night game. It'll probably be like 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning. So we don't have to worry about that because that's what coaches always panic about. I have a friend that's a former college assistant basketball coach at a major D1 program. And he told me we're usually 2 weeks away from the college hoops season most years. We're always worried about Halloween weekend. Who's going to get arrested? Who's going to get caught with marijuana? Who's going to get cited for alcohol? Who's going to get in a fight at some party or some bar? Because that's when the suspensions obviously come. You know, all of a sudden you find out, we got 5 guys suspended for the game this weekend because they were involved in some fight somewhere. Mm-hmm. So coaches are petrified of that.
Would it be surprising for you to know that I met Bushwick Bill?
Really? It is not surprising, yeah, considering who you've worked for.
And you know, Matt, that Ghetto Boys spelled G-E-T-O.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I'm well aware. Yeah, I think it's perfect explanation because I do think that it varies, like, sport to sport, right, as far as what, you know, where closing line value is. Like, for me, I almost don't care at all, right, because I'm an informational bettor, right? Yeah. Like, I want practice reports. I want injury reports. I want final injury reports. Right. I want all, you know, all those things like that. I am much more of an informational bettor when it comes to all of those things.
If you're good enough, you shouldn't care. That's my stance on it.
Yeah.
And you in football are clearly good enough where you should not care.
And so, like, it doesn't bother me in the least bit, right?
And while I cited the one baseball season where I crushed it and lost, generally speaking, that's the sport where I'm like, I could not care less than anybody else's betting.
Right. You know? Right. And the one thing you got to look at is some of the steam moves. Like, if you look at college football and Circus Sports posts the openers at 11 a.m. Pacific time on Sunday, a lot of these guys, and pretty much exclusively, are professional bettors or runners for professional bettors that are betting these. And all they're trying to do is get the number. Mm. You looked at, like, last week, for example. Now, it's probably not the best example because Alabama covered easily. But Alabama opened 17 at Tennessee. Those guys all knew, I'm not going to be able to lay 17 on game day with Alabama because, if anything, even if sharper bettors don't push it up, the public's going to push it up. Mm-hmm. And just the volume of tickets, all those 20, 50, however many dollar bets, they add up over time. So it's like, we're just going to lay the number. We may be looking to take Tennessee later in the week if we can get it to a number we want, 23.5, 24, which never showed. That's why you didn't see the resistance on Saturday. And then Alabama ends up winning 48-17.
And in college football as well, especially these powerhouse programs. So it's not like the NFL as well, too. So the difference between starting quarterback and backup quarterback, just infinitely different than Alabama, who has 3 5-star guys that are standing on the sideline over there, right? So it's like their second string quarterback would be starting at just about every other school in the whole country. So if for whatever reason he got COVID or what, you know, whatever it might be, or something, like, you're plugging in another 5-star guy, you know? And so it's not near as much the drop off.
And it occurs to me with the NFL, and I'm sorry to get sidetracked here. It occurs to me with the NFL, though, that it's people are gonna be like, what do you mean the NFL? He absolutely should care about seeing. I'll just remove you for a second. Let's talk about James Salinas, who works at VSiN. He's won a super contest. He's finished third. He's finished in the top 25 another time. I'm not telling James Salinas he should care about steam or line moves when he's got his process, just like you do. Mm-hmm. Injury reports, practice reports. Nah, y'all do it the way you do it, and you're great. And I think that's a lesson for all bettors. If your way works for you, don't be concerned with other stuff that you needn't be concerned
with. You can't be concerned, I think, with the social media mantra in terms of, oh, you need to do it this way. You need to be all in on analytics. Well, maybe you're not comfortable with it. If you're comfortable with being a situational or a fundamental-based handicapper instead of any type of advanced stat analysis, that's what you should do. And that's the beauty of sports betting. There's no one right way to win here. Everybody has their process.
That's
right.
Okay, so give us a pick here before the break. We'll have to keep you after the break here because we're going to talk golf as well. But what do you like a lot in college football. And by the way, do you agree with the Wisconsin move from first string quarterback to fourth string quarterback from 11-3 against Nebraska?
That's a game I'm probably going to stay out of. I wanted Nebraska.
It got canceled this morning, so yeah. It's no longer.
And initially I did want Nebraska, to be honest with you, because I didn't think they were as bad against Ohio State as the final score indicated. So I'll transition to that game. And look, you can wait on the number if you like Penn State in the spot. You may see 13. You may see 13.5 or even better, 14. I do like them in this spot against Ohio State. They shot themselves in the foot. They weren't that bad. They almost had 500 yards on an Indiana defense that's pretty solid. So you're getting Ohio State in. They're laying 12.5. You are down to your third string running back at Penn State, but they've got a bunch of 4- and 5-star kids there. So I think they can make up for that. James Franklin, 4-1 against the spread, last 5 against Penn State. That's kind of a meaningless trend, but it is a little bit of an indicator that James Franklin always gets his guys up for the Buckeyes. And quite frankly, you look at that final score, and that's where you can take advantage in these short-term things, because the Big Ten, like the Mountain West, they only got one game of data. It's not like the ACC or the SEC where you got 6-7 games. So the bookmakers are still very much tied to their power ratings preseason. So that's where I think you could take advantage a little bit. And Ohio State, look, they won by 35 last week. It was really about a 17-21 point game. And I thought it was a little bit of a phony final score, and it clearly was on the Penn State side because they should have won. So Penn State getting 12.5 and hopefully higher if you're on that side for the weekend.
Can you stay 5 more minutes with
Absolutely.
Us?
Absolutely.
All right. Wes Reynolds joining us, kind enough to stay over. We'll talk a little golf with him as well. Coming back right here on VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings.
Are you VIP material? DraftKings VIPs enjoy exclusive benefits, enhanced promotional offers, top-tier customer support, access to personalized contests, and more. Visit DraftKings.com/VSiN to learn more. Plus, everyone can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers can get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. Sign up with the promo code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N, to claim your exclusive offer. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. Gil.
Danielle in the penalty box for slashing once again.
It's for... for abandoning us last night. We stuck her over there in the last hour.
One segment in the penalty box. All right, Wes. Any other college football before we talk golf? Any other thing you like?
A couple different things. I'll be brief here. I do actually like Mississippi State. Hold your nose, plus 31.5 against Alabama. And absolutely hold on to yourself there, because Alabama's just been steamrolling. Mississippi State's been dreadful. But Alabama's got a bye week next week. Nick Saban just played 4 straight assistants, and we know what he does to his former proteges is he beats their brains in. So now you get Mississippi State coming in. Next week is a bye week, and then the big matchup against LSU, a down LSU team where they're ripe for the pickings, and you know they want a piece of those guys because they took them out of the college football playoff last year. So this might be like a get-through-it game for Alabama, kind of like what we saw with Clemson against Syracuse last week, where it's like, let's not get anybody hurt. We've proved our point. It's not going to increase us in the polls if we beat these dudes by 80 points. So I think Mississippi State can somehow, some way, hang within this big number here.
And of course, no Jalen Waddle, who's done for the year with his 4.2 speed.
Now, as Matt said, they have 5-star guys at receiver. So the cupboard's not bare for Nick Saban at that position.
By the way, did Nick Saban have to, like when they went to him on the sidelines after the injury, did he have to go, well, you know, he took it out of the end zone. So like he couldn't have not said that phrase. He
couldn't have just said, I feel so bad for the young man.
Yeah. Just say that. All right. And you said one more? One last one?
Some more, but in the interest of time.
In the interest of time. Golf in Bermuda. Is this a thing you're betting?
Yeah, small here. This is one where I think you can take a shot, though, because Will Zalatoris has been kind of the form guy, especially on the Korn Ferry Tour. He basically needs to make the cut to get a special PGA Tour temporary membership because he's not a member of the PGA Tour, yet he is a favorite in a PGA Tour event. This is a downfield 2 weeks before the Masters. These guys just played two weekends on the West Coast, so quality players, but not a lot at the top. So Zalatoris is the favorite, but I'm not going to play him. He's just too short for me. So this is one I think we can take some bombs a little bit down the field.
And a bomb, and such a bomb would be?
Well, my shortest two guys were the brothers Henrik, I'll call them. Henrik Norlander and Henrik Stenson. And I got them at 40-1. Henrik Stenson just fell out of the top 50 in the world. Recall that he won that Hero Challenge in the Bahamas in December against some of the top players in the world. And driving accuracy and GIR is going to be key here. It's only about a 6,800-yard par 71. So this isn't something where you bomb and gouge and win. This is really open to about anybody. And when you think of driving accuracy and greens and regulation, Henrik Stenson's about been one of the best there's been over the last 15 years in the game. Norlander's another guy I like on shorter coastal courses, which this is here in Bermuda at Port Royal this week. So fifth in Hawaii at the Sony, ninth at the RSM Classic at Sea Island, Georgia last weekend. So very similar kind of layouts off the coast. So those are guys I like this week. Took a couple triple-digit shots, though. Josh Teeter and DJ Trahan, who I got at 200-1. Very good driving accuracy and greens and regulation, guys. Just got to make putts like you got to do every week. And then Bryce Garnett, 105-1. Does well in these alternate events, the Corrales Punta Cana, Mayakoba, which is the golf classic in Mexico. He really plays well in these type of events. So look for those type of guys. The chalk at the top doesn't really scare me in this event.
Varner at 20-1 doesn't interest you at all?
He's a really good ball striker, but Brady Cannon, my partner on Long Shots, always says, I've never seen him make a putt in my life. And I watch golf all the time, and it's like I've never seen him make a putt.
So. I'm on one of those guys this week in Grio. I'm on one of those guys this week. Yeah,
I've been there. So
there's gonna be so much wind on Friday that it might blow the ball in the hole. Though.
I'm going to be very windy this weekend.
Like sustained 20 plus mile an hour winds and stuff like that, and with gusts up to like 30, 35 miles an hour. So that maybe as those putts are rolling, it'll just blow them in the hole.
We take all the help we can get when we get some of these bad putters on the PGA Tour.
I know you're chomping at the bit, Matt. We'll get your golf picks or your thoughts on the Bermuda Championship futures board right after the break. One head-to-head before we go here in 10 seconds. Anything?
I got Redman against Zalatoris.
There you go. Thank you, Wes. You snuck that in. There they are on the screen at MSG+. He's got three. Oppenheim over Merritt. Bryant over Percy as well. Coming back right here on Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers receive a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Use promo code VSIN when you sign up and start betting with the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. It's that easy. Download the app, use code VSIN, and get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit the DraftKings Sportsbook for full details. Gil, Matt.
Thank you, Danielle. Matt, I know you were chomping at the bit to give your golf picks there a second ago.
I just got a few, and we won't spend a ton of time on it. But like I said, I'm on Grio. Look, the guy can't make a putt to save his life. But I mean, this is a weak field, so maybe some stuff starts to fall in. But I really love every other part about his game, so I'm on him. Justin Suh is another guy that I'm on, 35-1. So he's in that same class of guys that came out with like Wolf and Morikawa and Vic Hovland, and they obviously have all gone on, and I don't have to tell you how good they've been since they've been. He kind of trailed behind, but he's starting to come around now and starting to kind of put it all together. And this might be one of those events where, since it is a weaker field, that he can actually kind of plow through and kind of really, you know, get a breakout here. I mean, he's got an 8th, a 14th, and a 21st in his last three starts. So maybe this is a win. Maybe you put him in like a top 10-ish type, more something like that bet. But I got a ticket on him. I have a 45-1 on Scott Stallings in this one. So he's kind of an all or nothing dude. But again, in a field like this, if his game is working, I think this is a good opportunity for him to win an event. He's got 3 top sixes in his last 10 starts. So like the upside is up, but the downside is like outside of the top 35, like, you know, like, so it, that, but with as much wind is going to be projected for this. So there's a video I watched like a year ago, and you should watch it if you haven't seen it. I think it's on YouTube. I saw it on golf.com or something. So Tiger made like the stinger famous, right? Like where you can like, you hit the ball and like, it's like 3 feet off the ground. It almost looks like you hit it wrong, but like you hit it on purpose to keep it that low. And Scott Stallings posted this picture of like him hitting these stingers like over and over and over again. And obviously with as much wind as projected in this tournament, like if this guy has this shot in his arsenal to where he can like keep it super low and cut through the wind and all that, it might be something that could be pretty powerful for him in this tournament. But if you haven't, like Tiger even commented on the videos, like, oh, impressive, you know, like impressive and stuff, like the way he's able to hit it. So, but yeah, not a ton of bets for me this week, but those are the guys that I'm going to be on. Those are kind of like a mishmash of outrights. There'll be some top 20s in there, some top 10s.
Do you think
like
Scott Stallings was like, oh my God, Eldrick commented on
that? I'm almost positive he did. I mean, wouldn't you?
Oh, totes.
Yeah. Yeah.
A heartbeat. Are you kidding me? Danielle is back, everybody.
Yes.
And earlier we updated the whole NFC East under 7.5 dealio.
Yeah.
You have another update for a prop that we've been tracking as well.
Yeah. I call this Sweet 16. All right, because we have one team left that's undefeated and one team that is only defeated. The Steelers are undefeated right now. Will they go 16-0? Yes, at 20-1. No, at minus 10,000. My goodness, so 100-1 there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Worse. Yeah. Next.
Yeah, it's a no, by the way. And no, we're not betting.
A bit too steep for you there. Okay, what about the Jets? 0-16. Will they not win a single game? There was more value on this before. It's dropped. Now the yes at plus 260, no at minus 335.
Well, because every week that goes, the closer they get to the finish line, right? So, it stands where I think we're all still on the same page, right?
Yeah.
Yes is still the bet. I don't know where they win.
Well, we originally, when we talked about this first, I think we were like, they have 2 shots at the Dolphins. And then they played the Dolphins and got shut out 24-0.
Well, we also said like, okay, maybe if Tua's first game is in their second game against Dolphins, but Tua's already playing this week, so that's not going to avail us.
So if you look at the schedule, really the only thing would be, so week 17 at the Patriots, they completely fallen apart?
There you go.
Like, have they, Cam's benched, like the team is like in shambles because they're going to have this horrible losing record or something. Like, so it basically comes down to week 17, I think.
Well, they have Patriots twice, too, right? They have a week 9, too. Monday night.
Yeah, I don't think they will have given up on the season by then. But, like, by week 17.
week 17 is squirrely to begin with. And so if a team, let's say the Patriots are done. Let's say they have no shot at making the playoffs. You have no idea how a team is going to approach a week 17 meaningless game.
Right.
So maybe that's the sneak in the back door win for the Jets is what Matt is saying. You might be right. It might come down to that. And what a sweat of a bet that would be in week 17. You're 0-15 headed into that. And you're like, well, I got that prop. You might not be golden because the Patriots might not care.
But what a fun one if you got in like a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Better value. Because now it just keeps dropping.
We were all over it at north of plus 700. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just, the coaching, the makeup of the team, like, I mean, just everything about this team is so bad.
And we don't even talk about like Adam Gase being fired anymore because it's like, no, we're just going to have Adam Gase apparently for the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah, they're writing it out.
I guess they're tanking for Trevor, although Trevor Lawrence said this week, hey, I might stick around.
Yeah, I might hang out.
So maybe you're tanking for Justin. You know, I don't know what you're tanking for. But that game this last week against the Bills, to me, was as powerful an indicator of how bad the Jets are because Darnold came back. Sam Darnold was back in the lineup. It wasn't Joe Flacco. So you thought, okay, they might have a pulse here. And their defense kept the Bills out of the end zone. Like, Bills couldn't get in the end zone. And as I said, as I had the Bills and Survivor, it was the least sweat-filled one-score Survivor pick ever. Because they had how many yards in the second half?
Four
yards. It's quattro in Spanish.
If you can do it, if you can put the whole second half yardage on one hand,
yes.
It's a problem.
It's a problem.
Or two,
it's a
problem. For that matter.
Yeah. It's a problem.
So, I mean, yes is still the bet, but I think Matt's right. Maybe it comes down to the final week.
I think it's funny because when this prop first came out, people said they got to get a win somewhere.
Well, I think we correctly identified at that time that the Giants and the Falcons mm-hmm. were still winless. I'm like, the Giants are going to win at some point.
Yeah, we saw that happening.
They were
and we knew the Falcons
week.
Were.
And we knew like, the Falcons were. With the undefeateds, you know, they with the Steelers going 16-0, I mean, no is the obvious. They're not going to go 16-0.
Right.
No.
They have the Ravens twice.
But no one's laying that number.
What would you want for the yes on that? 200-1?
On the Steelers?
Yeah.
To go 16-0?
Oh, yeah. It would have to be triple digits for sure.
For sure. 100-1.
Look at that schedule.
I think 100-1 is too low.
Too low. Because they're an underdog this week. And they'll be an underdog again probably at the Bills. Who knows at that point? But they got the Ravens again.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not the worst yet.
I was going to say, if they have the Ravens twice, but if they beat the Ravens this weekend and they do it handily, maybe they have their number, and so they get them again.
There's a lot of wins on that schedule, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no, it would have to be a better number. Jets, yes, 0-16, though, plus 200, whatever it was.
Yeah. Get in if you haven't.
Oh, Jets. Are the Jets and Giants the worst? Did you answer this last night? Yes?
Yeah.
Cowboys. Apologies to the Cowboys. We'll come back. Brady Cannon's going to join us. He's got some golf thoughts and maybe some NFL thoughts as well. Coming back. Primetime action right here on MSG+.